At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 217 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return this week to rank our driver lineups for 2025. Yes, we're still slowly but surely trundling our way through the winter, so we're trying to come up with as many ideas as we possibly can. First of all, of course, as always, Jamie, how are we doing on this fine Monday morning?
I'm very good, thank you. I've actually got a ski lesson tonight, so that'll be fun.
You say a lot of middle class things on this show. That's got to be right up there.
Hopefully you still have but two working legs this time tomorrow, but we'll see.
Fair enough.
But yeah.
Loving life?
Pre-announcement, there might not be a podcast at the normal time next week because I will be in a mountain in Switzerland. Hopefully on a mountain.
I was going to say, and here I was thinking you're going for a skiing lesson is the most white middle class thing you've ever said, and that's the next sentence out your mouth.
Exactly.
Have you ever skied before, out of interest?
Once. I did one lesson in one day last year.
Fair. I've never skied in my life, so I've got no idea kind of what that's like or about.
I'm terrible. It's really
that
fun,
I believe.
But hopefully I get a lot better in the next week and a half.
you're gonna need a bit of a miracle, aren't you, I think, there. But yeah, so exactly. The next couple of weeks podcast might be a little bit all over the show, but again, we're still in the winter, it doesn't matter too much. Of course as well, where was I going with that? I've completely forgot where I was going with that. Obviously we're six weeks out from Australia? Obviously we've got kind of like that, well, we've got pre-season testing, obviously we've got whatever that launch party's going to thing, even though like it seems like half the teams now are going to try and release their liveries before then, which is quite funny. That was where I was going with it, Jamie. Before we get into our rankings, obviously last week we asked you guys for your bold predictions for 2025. So we're gonna rate a couple of these as well. So first of all, we've got Yuri. He's come in saying Verstappen is the first driver who gets a race ban via penalty points and a 40k fine for swearing when he hears it.
Wow.
I mean he's already got quite a lot of penalty points, hasn't he? I was going to say, who's top of the list at the moment?
I think Verstappen's on 7 or 8.
I think I had 9 in my head. If he
keeps driving the way he did at the back end of last season, then potentially you might be right. I would be surprised if the swearing thing actually gets put in. I think the GPDA are going to absolutely kick and scream if that goes up.
Yes. So Verstappen and Alonso have each got 8. Hülkenberg's got 4, so has Stroll. And then Ocon and Norris have got 3.
Okay.
So the three best
drivers have the most penalty points.
If that's what you're going with? Okay, I guess. We've got the FIA versus the GDPA. This is also from Yuri. Which is basically going to be a war on Ben Sayan. I could see that happening. It won't be like an explosive front page, kind of everything comes out to the surface kind of thing. They will keep it behind closed doors.
I'm not sure they will.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, it's not going to be all broadcast and that kind of thing. We've heard from this driver and that driver.
It's not going to be the 2008 or 9 version with Max Mosley, is it?
No, exactly. And he's also said the boldest of them all, Kimi Antonelli, will win his debut race by pure luck. Which, I mean, by pure luck, anything is possible in Formula One. That'd be brilliant to see, to be honest. I think that'd be fantastic. Max's record in the bin for youngest race winner. First debut winner in over 60 years, which would be quite good going as well. Can we see that one happening, Jamie? Do you reckon Australian Grand Prix?
Well, I can't see it happening legit, but it, yeah, by pure luck, potentially. You never know. He'll be in that top pack, you'd like to think. Like the top eight. So if the other seven all have problems, you never know.
We got a few more then. Belodi. I'm probably horrendously butchering these names. I'm so sorry. He's got seven different drivers will win a race again. I think that's fairly
that's pretty reasonable.
Possible.
Yeah.
A single driver will make a super sub appearance.
Is that fairly likely as well?
I was going to say, is that just one off race or is that more races? We don't know yet. Lawson will not be in Red Bull and Dewell will not be in Alpine by the opening race of 2026, with at least one of them being dropped mid 2025. I think if we were going to put money on that, it would be Dewell going first, wouldn't it?
Yes, definitely. The Lawson is entirely possible. I just don't see who Red Bull would put in, to be honest, at this point. They've tried everything.
Exactly. I think, you know, if he has a terrible year, he could be dropped at the end of the season. But I think I think with Red Bull as well, especially if you've... Red Bull seem more willing to throw someone out if they've kind of thrown him in more aggressively, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, if they've been there 2 years, exactly, they might let him see him out. Although, again, you say that looking at Ricciardo, obviously he got dropped. And our last one's then coming in from Formula Bean, or Toast as he's lovingly known. Gasly will beat his teammate in 20 or more qualifying sessions this season. I love the fact he hasn't specified that that will be doing, because it could be all mixed up. I think that one...
20's a lot.
Gasly, is he a particularly... He's a good qualifier, but he's not a standout qualifier, is he, particularly?
Yeah. I think if his teammate's doing the whole season, that's potentially on. But I think Colapinto Pinto might run him a bit closer.
Yeah. Gabriele Bortoletto will score a point. That'd be nice to see.
I think that'll happen.
Yeah. And a team that finishes 10th or 9th in the Constructors will be a top 5 team in 2026 with the same driver pairing as in 2025.
So you're looking at
I was going to say, you're looking at Williams there, aren't you?
Or Sauber. Potentially Sauber. You never know.
Here we go. Hoping with Jamie 183, ladies and gentlemen. And my favourite one of the all, that we will get Fabio Capello on the podcast. Well, good news, ladies and gentlemen. He's right next to me. He's right
already
there.
Done it. Had it for already... 4 years.
Exactly, yeah. And how... I don't know what Fabio Capello is up to in his life nowadays, Jamie. It's a bit like when we went down the rabbit hole of what Maurizio Riva-Bene was doing.
Yeah, probably some weird Italian things.
You reckon? Fabio Capello?
I imagine so.
Fair enough.
I'm not Googling it.
No? You're too scared?
I'll ask him for next week. We're quite close.
Yeah, it's good. Let me have a look. How do you spell it? Capello. What's he up to? What's he doing?
Former England football manager, for anyone who's unaware of who on earth we're talking about.
And he just looks like Jamie F1. Just looks like him.
Yeah, if you Google Fabio Capello, you'll think you're watching Knowing Wheel.
What's he up to? What's he doing now? Does he have like a retirement section?
Is he
on
still
his
in management?
Wiki? Oh, he holds right-wing political views, despite having just previously been described as a socialist in the 1960s. Oh. That's quite a funny one to read.
1960s? He's that old?
Yeah, and is subsequently a long-time supporter of the Christian Democrats, Jamie. There you go.
Wow. There you go.
And a long-time supporter of Silvio Berlusconi, who was known for, I mean, even by Italian standards, was horrendously corrupt, which is quite a good going. Anyway... That's enough.
Right.
We can never do these deep dives anymore because it always just circles back to an Italian that's corrupt.
Yeah. I mean, it's always a bit likely, isn't it, when you're looking into the history of old Italians?
Exactly, exactly. Let's rank some driver lineups then, Jamie. So what we've done is we've just written our own list each individually for how we'd go from first through to 10th. We reckon sensibly most of these will be pretty close together, don't we?
Yes.
So
I actually think it's fairly like you got groups definitely.
Yes.
And I think reasonably, unless you're deluded, which hopefully neither of us are,
I think
should be a fairly similar order.
I think you'd be able to justify. I would like to believe where we put each of them until it turns out you put Sauber at number one or something. I assume we'll start at the bottom, Jamie, and work our way up.
Yeah, let's start at the bottom.
Go on then. Fire me off. Number 10, worst lineup.
Unsurprisingly, probably have put RB, Minardi, Toro Rosso, whatever they're called these days.
I put V-Cup, so that's okay.
Because I don't like Isaac Hadjar particularly. Did you see Josh Revel's video?
Yes.
Isaac Hadjar this week?
He's not had a... I mean, I already knew he didn't have a particularly impressive junior career, but I kind of forgot
really
just how mediocre. Yeah.
So I think he's only there because Red Bull needed someone to fill that seat when they binned off Perez, and Lindblad's too young. So
he's basically a bench warmer for Lindblad, isn't he? I think
he's never going to race. This is a bold prediction for Isaac Hadjar, and I'm sorry to bin him off before he's even raced in Formula One. He will be a Jean-Éric Vergne, where he will never drive anything that isn't a V-Cup.
Fair enough. Yeah, we've had a few of those with Brendan Hartley, for example, as well. Although Brendan Hartley was incredibly unlucky.
Jaime Alguersuari.
Jaime Alguersuari as well, yeah, another one. Buemi as well, who's had a lot of success outside of Formula One. I'm with you on that one. I think, again, you know, we've kind of spoke all this stuff about, you know, we've got two drivers that struggle with their emotions and things like that. I think Tsunoda can lead that team. And I wonder if they've kind of looked back at his time with Nyck de Vries and kind of gone, well, he can be, like, the clear number one.
And he did do well against Ricciardo start of last season. He did well against Lawson, to be fair, but, like...
Exactly.
I just think he's slightly above mid.
I think if you were
to do a whole driver ranking, he would be on the fringes of the top 10.
Yeah, it's a bit weird as well, isn't it? Because, of course, we still theorise that he could go to Aston Martin, obviously, when Honda go there. But, of course, obviously, if Aston Martin suddenly become a great team, then he might struggle. Because I can't see them keeping a lineup of him and Stroll at some point.
No.
So it's kind of like...
Courting Verstappen, aren't they?
Which I mean, they still want to. Yeah. And, I mean, it's kind of like V-Carb at the moment. They've got a worse lineup than they probably did at any point last year. Hadjar's one of those drivers that I think could surprise us, but is one of those ones that could be doing absolutely fine, has one bad weekend, and absolutely falls off the deep end as well. Which I think is his big problem. Which has been what he has to focus on this year, is keeping himself in the right
managing
routine mentally.
Expectations.
Exactly, exactly. Number nine then, Jamie.
Who have we gone for Alpine.
As have I. It's going to be really boring.
And I think if after four races it's Gasly, Colapinto, this would go up one or two spaces for me. But where it's Gasly doing... Again, I think Gasly is better than Tsunoda a little bit, not loads, but Doohan is about the same as Hadjar, maybe slightly better or slightly worse, but I think having a proper team leader in Pierre Gasly, who was on top of his game come the end of last season, he was really doing very well. I think they're not exactly high in this list, are they? But they're just, it edges them off the bottom for me.
Yeah, I think you'd say Gasly's definitely better than Tsunoda, wouldn't you? And I feel like Doohan is probably on a similar... I'd say he's pretty much on par, isn't he, with Hadjar at the moment. I mean, I don't think anybody's come into Formula 1 in recent years with as little hype as Jack Doohan, which is quite an impressive feat, isn't it? But, yeah, I mean...
I do feel sorry for him a bit. The whole winter has just been all about him losing his seat.
Yeah.
So it can't be great for your focus going into your first proper season of Formula One.
Yeah, it is difficult. I mean, the only kind of saving grace I think might be for him, that he obviously is a little bit older, isn't he, than some of our other rookies. So you'd kind of hope he might be a little bit more level-headed, that kind of thing.
And he's been with that team for two or three years now as test driver. So
yeah, he should be fairly well embedded.
He'll know it in and out. He won't have to adapt too much.
Other than
like the racing side of things.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, for me personally, it was a toss-up between them and our eighth place team, which I put as Haas. I don't know if that's the same for you. Have you put Sauber?
I've put Aston Martin.
Oh, okay. That's a big claim.
So this next three, 6, 7, 8, were a toss-up for me, really.
Yeah, they were all close.
You put Haas in eighth.
I've put Haas in eighth. My logic simply was that I think Ocon and Gasly are pretty much identical. And I thought Behrman is better than Doohan.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. The reason I put Aston below Haas was because I think, controversially, Alonso's a bit better than Ocon, but not loads. And I think Behrman...
He lost to him on points, didn't he? When they were teammates?
He did, but realistically that was that's like Hamilton losing to Russell in one point.
I think you can say Rosberg.
and I think Stroll has not performed at any kind of good level since 2020, really.
Yeah.
I've actually put Aston 8th and Haas 7th, but there we go. I'm happy for you to go with yours for Haas in 8th, because I don't like Ocon particularly, but I think he's a solid driver.
He's on a par with Gasly, isn't he? Like, you're going to get pretty much the same results out of the pair of them.
But
generally.
Behrman's definitely better than Doohan.
Exactly, exactly.
And then definitely got a higher ceiling. He's going to be in F1 a lot longer.
Yes, it's going to be. I mean,
I think I actually quite like that lineup. I think that's quite an interesting lineup to keep an eye on, because Ocon should have the legs at first, but I think Behrman's development over the course of the season will be quite fast.
It'll be very, very interesting to kind of see how they are as a pairing, their chemistry as the year goes on.
Yeah,
because I still feel that it was a mistake to get rid of Magnussen in place of Ocon. Not as much necessarily for the skill level as such, but the last time, obviously, Haas brought in two new drivers, it didn't go well. And you kind of there going, if Magnussen will be a fantastic henchman for that team as well, as we saw with Hülkenberg last year.
Yeah.
So I'm always kind of there going, it would have been useful, I think, still to have that, you know, kind of pay him and you'll scratch his back, he'll scratch yours.
I do think that Ocon is a slight step up in talent from Magnussen, but...
Yes, slightly.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It's that unknown, isn't it, of will Ocon play the team game for an 18-year-old?
Yeah, no, is the answer.
I think they'll get on fine. This is a bold prediction. I think this is like when Hülkenberg and Magnussen started being teammates and everyone was like, oh, they're going to fall out all the time. They're going to be crashing on track.
Yeah, but there's two very experienced drivers. I think people were expecting the memes, but I think it's also the other thing that we never really factor in with Formula One drivers. They both also got kids, which is quite rare in the sport. So they are that bit more mature. You know, they do think about that kind of thing.
Fine
as well.
Wines. Well, Hülkenberg is, and Magnussen's like a fine, not quite a wine, but something else.
A fine vodka.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, I think Ocon and Behrman definitely want to keep an eye on. And I think Ollie Behrman's got a long future in the sport.
So you've put So I assume you've gone Aston in 8th, Haas in 7th, Sauber in 6th then.
Correct.
Okay. So you're saying Hülkenberg is on par with Fernando Alonso and then Bortoletto is better than Stroll?
Pretty much, yeah.
I think bold.
I think Alonso has... I mean, I like Alonso. I think he's a very, very great driver. But I would love to see him against a proper teammate these days. At 42, like, he can't be operating at the same level he was even 3 years ago.
I think he likes to tell you he is.
Yeah, I think he likes to tell you he is as well. But, you know, he beat Stroll, but he didn't absolutely destroy him last season. I mean, and Stroll is also just completely unfocused, like, unserious, not locked in at all. I would love to see Alonso, even up against someone like Ocon or Hülkenberg or Gasly. I just want to see it again to kind of get a proper bearing on where he's at.
I feel, again, Alonso is kind of one of those drivers as well, that if he's a bit like a Hamilton or a Verstappen, or when they need to dig deep, they can find that bit extra still.
Yeah.
Which is what gives them the world titles and something that, say, a Lando Norris hasn't proven yet, and that kind of thing.
Yeah. I do like Bortoletto. That was a big... I do think Bortoletto...
Bortoletto's a really weird one for me. Of kind of... Obviously, you know, he's coming after winning F3 and F2. He admitted his F2 campaign was in quite a few places very lucky. I think the last of first in Monza, was a bit lucky. I think it's also that element of, you know, it should have still probably been Behrman and Antonelli that absolutely dominated last year. And obviously Prema just couldn't figure out the car. Probably got mecha chromed as well. So Formula 2 at the moment, like we've said, it's got a big issue with...
It does. Bortoletto is definitely further on his racing career than Antonelli and Behrman. Just because they're hyped doesn't mean they're actually going to be good. So, I mean, look at when we predicted Dennis Hauger to walk away with everything.
I understand that as well.
Bortoletto is slightly more ready for F1 in terms of career stage than probably Behrman or Antonelli. I think they'll both be fine, Behrman and Antonelli.
I think that's a bit unfair. I think they've both proven their skill.
Yeah, they have. They have, for sure. They deserve to be there, but I think Bortoletto is probably, right now, a slightly better driver than both of them. Is that controversial? But like, obviously he's 22 compared to 19 or 18.
Exactly. And I think the other thing as well, isn't it? We've seen two Brazilian Formula 2 champions in recent years. You know, we're starting to see Brazilians getting back to the pinnacle of Formula 1 again. And obviously, Bortoleto this year is, what, first Brazilian since Massa in 2017?
Fittipaldi, first full.
Fittipaldi, yeah, I guess. Forgot about that.
Which is mad that we've gone almost a decade without a Brazilian driver.
Considering how long we've gone before then with always having at least a Brazilian on the grid, it's quite mad. I think my thing is with Bortoleto is I can still, for Sauber for Audi this year, it's just a, it's a gamble they can take. That they're not at risk of, they've locked him in on a 2-year deal. There will absolutely be clauses to get him out after one if they don't feel he's suitable. For them it's kind of perfect because they can give him a chance. If he delivers and he delivers well, then you've got yourself the next star locked in. If he doesn't, well, then you can toss him to the wayside in 2025. I think it's still going to be a bit of a bin-off year for them.
Potentially.
Yeah. It's kind of that thing of, I can either see him absolutely shining or kind of being completely outshone by your Behrmanns and your Antonellas next year.
Well, he's got Hülkenberg to deal with first as well, which is not easy.
No, exactly. So, but I think we'll Hülkenberg, again, will be useful to him.
Yeah. Hülkenberg's got some perspective. He's 36, now 37 now, isn't he? So he's going to be to kind of be the Bottas to his Joe. But hopefully, Bortoleto's slightly better than Joe was.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he definitely is. Aston Martin, then, obviously, I've ranked in sixth. Like I said, I think Alonso is still better than Hülkenberg.
Than the Hülkenbergs.
Yeah, and I think, I guess I put them as sixth because, obviously, Stroll is a known quantity. I'm sure by the end, he's known to be very, very mediocre at best. He has had a couple of special moments. You give him that, but then again, when you take enough stabs at a fault, I reckon in 200 Grand Prix, I could have lucked a pole by now. That's my
I'm
toxic
not sure about
trait. Give me enough chances.
It only took Hülkenberg 17 races to luck a pole position.
So exactly, and how's that podium going for him?
Well, give him the third fastest car and he might have got one.
Here we go. But it's just kind of that thing of there's still the potential that the others could be slower, isn't there? At least with Stroll, we know. By the end of the year, by the end of the year, we could genuinely be ranking Aston Martin's driver lineup as like the ninth best or even possibly the worst, fall from grace. But I think it's good that kind of like we've seen in real Formula 1, we've kind of got our big five and our bottom five at the moment, haven't we?
Putting this fifth place team in the top five is a bit generous.
Who have you put fifth then?
Well, Williams are fifth, obviously.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Really?
Okay.
Have you not put them fifth?
I've not put them fifth.
But like the big five and the bottom five, I think there's a clear step between them in driver rankings. But obviously in real Formula 1, you've got Aston Martin are just perennially fifth and will never not be there.
Pretty much at the moment. It feels like at the moment. Until Newey can have an
Who have you put fifth in? Mercedes?
Yes.
Ah, wow.
I think Russell is better than Alonso, and I think Antonelli will very
Alonso
instantly
doesn't drive for either of those teams.
Hey, sorry?
You said Russell's better than Alonso.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's why I put him above Aston
Martin.
You're
comparing him to Aston Martin.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think Antonelli will instantly prove that he's better than Lance Stroll.
And you've put him below Williams?
Yes, I have.
So you think Sainz is better than Russell and Albon's better than Antonelli?
I would say Sainz is slightly worse than Russell, but to begin again, because they're a bit of an unknown with Antonelli, I'm going to say that Albon is closer. Albon is better by a bigger margin than Antonelli right now, and Sainz is worse than Russell.
Right. I've put Williams in fifth and Mercedes in fourth.
Okay.
Just because I think Sainz is operating at a high level, for sure, but I think Russell is probably that bit better. And I do like Antonelli. I do like Albon, but I think Albon probably will realise that he's been up against rubbish teammates for 3 years now.
It's going to be a really interesting year, isn't it? Because it is genuinely one of those ones where we're kind of, I think everyone's going, Albon's going to have a tough time now against Sainz, but you also go, on the other hand, if he beats Sainz this year, then suddenly you're going, hang on a minute, Williams here have got a rapid lineup.
Yeah. I think it's just telling at the moment that, Albon has actually never beaten a serious teammate, if you look at it, because he was losing to Kvyat in his first year.
Yeah, but he was also a rookie against a driver with, what, 5 seasons of experience?
Yeah, he got absolutely battered by Verstappen, obviously. And then since then, he's beaten Latifi,
Sargeant,
and Colapinto.
Yeah.
So it will be very interesting. It's a career defining year, I would say, for Alex Albon. Cause,
I think for both of them, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. If Sainz destroys Albon, then yeah, you're like, okay, he needs a top seat again. If Albon beats Sainz, you're like, oh, this career renaissance is really going somewhere and he probably deserves a shot back at the top.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really important for both. And I think it could get a bit spicy between the two of them.
Yeah, it's one of those weird ones, isn't it? Where you think, I can't see there being any beef here. And then suddenly there's loads of beef there.
Well, Sainz is known for being slightly difficult to work with. For both Leclerc and Verstappen, didn't get on hugely well with him as a teammate.
No, I think that's also because they underestimate him, though. I think people have kind of always viewed Sainz as just a number two, but I'd argue he's one of the most adaptable drivers on the grid.
Yeah.
You know, I still think back to 2021 when we saw all those drivers move around and he was the only one that didn't struggle, especially because he moved to Ferrari, which is quite impressive.
Yeah.
I think Sainz is still slept on as a driver. I think he's almost a bit like a modern day Jenson Button of at the right place at the right time. We could see a world championship out of him.
Yeah.
But it would take a lot.
I think that about a lot of
the
drivers on the grid, to be honest.
Yeah.
If they had a car like the Brawn and a teammate they could beat, then I think.
But Barrichello was no slouch, is my point.
He wasn't. But I do think that. So, say if you put like a Sainz and a Hülkenberg together in the fastest car of the mile, that would be quite interesting.
A Sainz would wipe the floor with Hülkenberg. Hülkenberg would finish fourth every week. Oh, your hope here for Hülkenberg, man, is so...
Hülkenberg finished fourth every week.
You tried to claim a minute ago that he's as good as two-time world champion Fernando Alonso. I hope you get roasted in the comments.
As a retired two-time world champion.
I hope you get roasted in the comments.
It's been 20 years since Alonso won a championship.
Not quite, but I see what you mean.
Not quite.
Is it going to be even more controversial, Jamie, then, when I say that Williams aren't even ranked fourth on mine?
Oh, you've put Red Bull fourth, haven't you?
I've put Red Bull fourth.
Oh, dearie me. I'm not having that.
You're going to have to. It's on my list.
Oh, my word. Well, so you're saying that the discrepancy between Sainz and Verstappen, I'm going to assume, you're saying is smaller than the discrepancy between Lawson behind Albon.
I think Red Bull accidentally made the best choice by not giving Sainz that ride. I think there's a reason. And, you know, Verstappen always has a say on who can be his teammate. There is a reason why he wouldn't let Carlos Sainz in that team alongside him. I especially think this year, if Red Bull kind of fall off the deep end a bit, which I think we all kind of thought would happen, but then they kind of bounced back at the end. I think a lot of people are underappreciating how well Red Bull as a team bounced back at the end of last year. See, Perez was still having a stinker. But by
the end
of the campaign... They won Qatar on pace. Like, that car... I think a lot of people kind of just assume... Well, it's as I said, wasn't it, when we had that weird 4-week break out to Singapore, that was going to be the making of Red Bull to allow themselves to regroup and get those last upgrades on the car to limp across the line.
Well, to fly across the line if you get in Brazil weather. Great.
Well, exactly.
Perfect.
Exactly. Lucky red flag. But it's... I'm still there going, if they kind of fall off a little bit, as we saw with Verstappen throughout the midway stage of last year, I think a lot of people have kind of gone over the last couple of years, you know, he can do anything in any car. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to sit here and try and claim that he's not still top three best drivers on the grid every single week.
Top one best driver on the grid.
Yeah, you might make that argument. But he's still absolutely proven that he doesn't run perfectly every week. Hungary last year, for example, he absolutely lost his head.
With you.
Get a couple of those races early on. Don't get me wrong, you'll still, you know, on a Saturday be able to extract everything out of that car and still get big results reliably. But it could also be that if Lawson doesn't get the right guidance, if he struggles with the same way that others have, and if say, that Red Bull team, for example, is behind Ferrari, behind McLaren, even behind Mercedes, for example, I can see Verstappen just very much being that, not really interested, don't really care, I'm just going to go out there, drive it each week. If I get a good result, I get a good result. If I don't, I don't care. I can see him being very dismissive very quickly.
Yeah, but I don't think it will change. Once he's on the track, he'll be operating at a super high level. And yeah, I think Verstappen is the best driver on the grid quite comfortably right now. I think there's a few drivers who are a bit younger than him who have potential to get up there, but last season really demonstrated that he is, for me, the best driver on the grid. So I struggle to put Red Bull that low on the driver lineups because, yeah, especially behind Williams, that's mental. Because, yeah, Williams, Lawson's unknown quantity, but he's
a bit of a known
thing to place up.
Yeah, I guess my kind of thoughts and feelings are that Williams overall as a team have the potential to have a much better average lineup than Red Bull. I think Williams, you're looking there going, if those two both hit the ground running, they've got a car that suits them, they can both be very, very fast.
They can, but nowhere near Verstappen, either of them.
So I think people kind of go, oh, you talk about Albon having terrible teammates the last few years. Max has still got terrible teammates, potentially. You'd like to slag off Albon for having terrible teammates over the last few years. And then you go, oh, yeah, but Max is...
But who else do you put next to Max in 2021?
As I said, you put Sainz alongside him, which, let's be fair, apart from when he went to Ferrari, they could have done. There's a reason Max won't have allowed that to happen.
At the end of 2020, when they chose Perez to go next to Verstappen...
Yeah,
Perez
who else was there to pick?
Sainz has already gone to Ferrari. Sainz went to Ferrari 6 months ago.
Exactly.
They didn't know they wanted to drop Albon yet. Sainz wasn't available.
And they already had it in their head.
But like they when Perez was chosen for Red Bull, he was a top five driver on the grid at that point.
I think we also underappreciate just how good that racing point was that year.
Yeah,
in 2020.
It was. And Hülkenberg qualified third in it and no practice. So yeah, maybe Perez was always awful and just Stroll made him look good.
We'll move on. I think we'll agree.
So it leaves
us
with the same
one.
Top two, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? Sure. It's when we haven't put these in the same order. Who's your number two lineup, Jamie?
My number two lineup includes a British man
and a man not from Britain.
His Australian teammate
and Arthur Leclerc's relative.
Yes. No. McLaren 2, Ferrari in 1 for me.
Yeah, absolutely same.
Because it's quite hard to argue against that, I think. Because we basically saw almost a rivalry between Leclerc and Norris last season.
Yep. When Ferrari screwed
McLaren,
that one.
Well, McLaren was better overall.
Yep.
And
it was
Leclerc
still a rivalry until the end of the year.
Came out of the season with more credit than Norris did.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think Leclerc's more ready to win a championship than Norris is. I think they're both almost ready. And they both could win the championship this year. Obviously, they're not both going to win it. But
I'll
that's
be
not
impressed.
How maths works. But I think Leclerc is a nudge ahead of Norris, not by a lot, but by a little bit. And then obviously, as of right now, Hamilton is absolutely better than Piastri. I think give it 2 years. That
are you
going to
say
case.
That? Are you going to say that Hamilton is worse than Norris and Leclerc?
I think that's close.
How can you say that, man?
Honestly, it's hard to tell. I think they're all operating at a similar level. I think Leclerc and Hamilton are very, very close. I think Leclerc will edge it this season just because of Ferrari's history and he's been with them for a while. And I think if I had to rank them, taking cars out of the picture, I would go Leclerc, Hamilton, Norris, Piastri. But it's all really close, to be honest.
I'd put Hamilton and Leclerc the other way around. I think that Lewis kind of, you know, as we've seen with other drivers before, when you know you're leaving a team before the season's even begun, you don't operate at the same level. And I think a lot of people have kind of tied this in that, you know, he's getting old and things like that. And maybe, I'm not going to absolutely sit here and go, that is impossible, that's happening. Because I am so nervous for this year. but I still think, you know, as Hamilton proved at Silverstone and stuff, when he absolutely, you know, as we've said so many times before, you know, pretty much throughout Hamilton's entire career, when the chips are down, and you need someone to come back out swinging. Yeah, his back's against the wall. Lewis is still definitely top three. I would still argue the best driver in that scenario.
And that's what he's always been the best at, is when he's up against it.
Yeah.
He comes out fighting. And like that, I respect it massively. But I think, is he 40 now or is he 39? He's had his birthday.
40,
recently,
he's 40. Yeah.
So like,
I mean, that is, for a 40-year-old man, Jamie, he's doing pretty well, isn't he?
Are we looking at a 2010 Schumacher?
No.
The hype's on him, and then he just gets battered by a young teammate.
He hasn't taken 3 years out.
Well, he pretty much has since the W.
Hang Hang on a minute, he's won Grand Prix in that time.
He won two Grand Prix in that time.
Yeah, that's Grand Prix, isn't it? You gotta listen, well, sir. Yeah.
Yes, wild. Indeed it is. I do think, yeah, Ferrari do have the best lineup. And I'm very interested to see from an outside perspective how that goes. I do, for my own personal pride, I hope Leclerc beats Hamilton, because obviously I put my colours on the mast, I think that will happen.
Yep, and I've obviously said the exact opposite.
Yep, so that'll be interesting one to keep an eye on. And then in terms of McLaren, I think give it 3 years, this will be the best lineup on the grid. But they're obviously both growing. I think Piastri's going into his third year. Norris is into his seventh? Eighth?
Seventh.
Yeah, so like they're both early stage. Norris is getting towards mid stage, obviously, of his career. But yeah, they've both got extremely high ceilings. This could be one to keep an eye on in terms of who they're going to favour, because they won't. No, they'll go into it equal.
Papaya rules, Jamie. Papaya rules.
They'll absolutely go into the season equally. And then only. I think we could be getting a 2010 Red Bull situation where they don't actually favour either, but in secret they're favouring one of them. And I can't tell you who that will be yet. But
I
think
Lando
be
if they're going to, isn't it? Yeah. I think all if Oscar Piastri, he will have had to spend all winter just working out Pirelli tyres.
Yeah.
Like that's, yeah. It is, I think that's still the only kind of big kind of thing that he's
And there were some
lacking.
Weekends where he would just be a few tenths off it.
Exactly. Exactly.
But if he was on it, he was slightly... Well, certainly there, if not slightly ahead of Nando. And he clearly isn't scared of a fight, looking at that Monza start and stuff like that, or the Baku race. So
Lando Norris
has
to prove,
Piastri.
As we've said before, Lando Norris this year, in kind of a way that Leclerc's done for the most part last year, I think Leclerc last year has kind of proven that he's ready to win a world championship now. Where there was kind of still that bit of doubt after 2022 and things, I think Leclerc's proven now he is a round enough driver. I still don't feel like we've seen that from Lando necessarily. Like I've said before, you know, and I'll keep banging on about it, stop trying to be friends with Max Verstappen. Like,
I
it just doesn't work.
That,
no, he's, but Max isn't, like, Max has got to be scared of him. And Lando's there going, oh, I just want to be best mates. Like, let's play bike racing together. That's not
creating drama for drama's sake.
No, it's not creating drama for drama's sake, but he's also just rolls over because Verstappen won't do the same for him.
But
like,
he doesn't
he
roll
just,
over. Look at Kota in Mexico. When, like, only in the media pen does he roll over. But then who cares at that point? The race is done. On the track, they
it
are
does
as fierce
matter,
as anyone.
Though. I'm sorry. It does. He needs to... A bit like what Russell's done. Now. There's a reason why Max probably spends more time talking about George Russell than he does about Lando at the moment. It's because
like George Russell.
Because he does... But that's the whole point. They've got... That's how you get in Max's head. You've got to make him dislike you. It's why I'd fancy Russell's chances against him more, and he's probably a slightly better driver as well. I'm sorry, you've got... Look at Hungary last year when he lost his head. You've got to do that to him, and you've got to do it week in, week out. I'm sorry, unless you've got a car that is that much faster than him, it simply doesn't matter.
I'd imagine that's what Norris is hoping for, to be honest.
It's all he can hope for at the moment, unless he starts playing that game. I'm sorry, he's got to. He can't not anymore if he wants to. If he ends up in a serious title fight against him again, even if he's got a bit of a car advantage, he's got to get under his skin. And he absolutely had opportunities to last year. You know, like you said, with Mexico, things like that. He should have come out after that Grand Prix going, he can't drive. He's
but that's not who Norris is. Norris and Verstappen are both like, they both have perspective. I do think.
I'll behave. Like,
they're
Verstappen's
both quite
perspective
chill.
Is I'm always right.
Well,
they're
he
not
makes
both always
it.
Chill.
I think
just
Verstappen
a lie.
Verstappen basically says, I'm going to win with the rules that are in front of me. And if you don't like it...
Yeah, but even then he breaks the rules.
Well, he doesn't try... Well, he does try to. He tries to break them for his own advantage, but it doesn't quite always work out.
You can't sit here and go, oh, they're both chill. Like, Verstappen absolutely will can.
I just think they both can't be bothered
look
for the mind games. That's
look
the
at Abu Dhabi last year, when he took out Oscar Piastri at turn one.
Well, that was accidental, wasn't it? He didn't mean that.
It was, yeah, but it was still that. He didn't. People don't do it on purpose, but he was still terrible.
Well, people do do it on purpose. Look at Senna. Suzuka 90.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
I need to go
for,
to work.
That was
end
for Suzuka 88. like I said, my point is Lando needs to... Lando just needs to stop being his mate. But there we are then. Like we said, We actually ended up a little bit more different than I thought we would there.
Yeah.
But a massive thank you to everybody, as always, for listening. If you have enjoyed...
Carlos Sainz delusion.
My Carlos Sainz delusion, exactly. I can't wait for him to win the world title this year. Let us know your rankings down in the comments below as well. A massive thank you to everybody for listening. And we will be back at some point in the near future, I guess, with more Knowing Wheel.